Hello, good evening. Welcome to the latest episode of Magicast. It's your host again, Joey, as Scott is still away. He enjoyed the wonderful Roma-Milan game, and he's also going to the Bologna game. So that's lucky of him. Hope he has a good time. But I'm your host for tonight. And with me, I got Imran. How are you doing, Imran?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, Imran. So we're here on episode 261. We're going to be talking about the review of Milan-Roma and Roma passing through to the next round of the Europa League. We're now four semifinals in a row we've made, and I think it's five out of the last 6 years. So it's a wonderful feat by Roma. But before we get into that, Imran, I actually want to start with something we didn't really talk off pod about this. I think it's nice to announce that Roma have confirmed that they're going to keep De Rossi as a long-term coach. So they will be signing him. Nothing is done as of yet. So I wanted to start with that, the timeline, because they did this before the actual Milan game happened. Imran, what did you think of it? And what did you think of the timing of it?
It was a correct decision. It's difficult to argue against that. To announce it before the game, you can interpret it in different ways. But for De Rossi and for the club, for the players, it was the right message to send ahead of a big game, meaning that they are happy with the work that Rossi has done, and that irrespective of the result before yesterday's game, they wanted him to lead this team next season. And I think it was a big vote of confidence, which proved out, you know, in the end to be the right decision in terms of the timing of the announcement as well. So I was very happy. It was the right thing to do. The timing turned out to be perfect as well. And I couldn't have been happier. What about yourself?
Oh, I couldn't have been happier with the extension. I know Theo, one of the listeners who made a comment, I actually thought of him. Shout out to you, Theo, for you know, the extension finally came and I was super happy. I have to say, from the freaking Zimran, they have a lot of balls to do this before the game. And man, did it pay off. I mean, to confirm De Rossi as your coach, you know, you as well as he done, you never know how this can go. You never know how someone can be. When someone gets a confirmation that they're going to be staying, at times they feel maybe their job is secured, but not De Rossi. De Rossi loves this team. He will fight tooth and nail, whether his job is at risk or he's secured. And again, they show a lot of courage to confirm this before the Milan game, and it paid off. This, to me, was like, I'm not going to say huge gamble. I'm saying the timing was a gamble. We'll get into the game, but going against Milan, he just showed what a coach he is becoming. And he absolutely loves Roma. I mean, it couldn't have been a more perfect combination between the two. Like the players say, Imran, especially Dybala, one of my favorites, everyone knows, he said he really has the potential to be an Allegri Mourinho coach in terms of pedigree. So that's big shoes to fill, really. It really is, but he's certainly up to the challenge, and I could not be happier. Yesterday was such a great day, Imran. Everything just went the way I personally wanted it to go. So we'll even talk a bit about the fifth spot in Champions League once we get into the review. But what a entire day and just positive yesterday. I even enjoyed Imran, to be honest. We're going to move on to the European games. And before we get into Roma, I even enjoyed, because there's always that big talk of the Premier League being so successful. And we talked about this. Did you see how many teams from the Premier League got eliminated in the last couple of days. They're only left with one, and I was actually happy to see it. What did you make of some of the results?
I was surprised by some of the results because I didn't expect them to crash out like that at the same time. I mean, it could have been some close games, but for Liverpool to be knocked out, certainly didn't expect that.
City,
And
Arsenal, right?
City, you could argue that against Real Madrid, it's always difficult. Arsenal are favorites, especially considering how poor of a season Bayern Munich have had. But it was also always going to be a close game. But I think Liverpool was a big surprise, and ultimately three teams crashing out in the same week, and now they're only left with Aston Villa in the Conference League. So
Which was close, remember? They
it
had to
was
change.
close. Yeah, it was penalties. So and they scored. Lille were 2-0 up, and then they scored in the 87th or 88th minute. So pretty much very late, and then got to the penalties, and they won that. So it was very close, yes. And I think people have issues with the Premier League, especially non-Premier League fans, with I think mostly due to their attitude, and with them being so arrogant and so ignorant when it comes to anything that happens outside England. I think that's what make leave people frustrated, and especially now vindicated that they have no teams left in two of the biggest competitions in Europe.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up, because they sometimes show some certain arrogance. I watch the Premier League. I enjoy it. I'll be honest. I enjoy if City win. I love Kevin De Bruyne. I love Pep Guardiola. But just the fan base saying, everybody they play outside of the Premier League is too easy. So many, even pundits, Imran, so many journalists, when they do like their prediction brackets, they easily put Liverpool in the final. They easily put Milan passing Roma. They always tend to do that, and they easily put, I think it was Arsenal, not easily for Arsenal, but for sure to battle and beat Bayern. They had City passing, which I did think as well, but they just seem as if it's easy. And we also had the whole conversation. I think me and Scott spoke about this, and we laughed about it actually. Of how Brighton, if they were in the Serie A, they would win the league. Somebody actually said it, some British pundit. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
the unfortunate thing is that they have so strong opinions, and they have that despite having enough knowledge about things, and I think that's very dangerous. Not so dangerous in football, but I mean, generally in life, you should be very cautious when you don't have enough knowledge to speak about things. You shouldn't be so bold in your statements, because it can give a
backfire.
false image. It can backfire. It can give a
For
false
sure.
image. And especially when you are trusted to go on the, on TV, radio, whatever you are in the media, you're trusted to give a professional and objective opinion of a game or a team. You're supposed to do that. And with those pundits, they don't do it. And ultimately, it's a type of media and football culture that I cannot personally relate to, because I personally believe that you should put in an effort to give an objective opinion and presentation of your opponent. You should be more humble in your approach, and that's why I don't enjoy, and I prefer not to watch highlights or clips from media from the UK, because it gives me so little, and they put so little effort into having experts from, let's say, Italian football. Well, they did have it this time with James Horncastle. He was there, and he basically explained to them, that this actually was no surprise by Atalanta. They've been doing it for a long time. They info basically even a very detailed description of who Gasperini was, and that he should be in the running for, you know, for some of the big jobs because of what he has done. And that was positive to see. And I think that going forward, they need to do more of that. They need to bring experts from other leagues to give a balanced perspective of the actual situation for the listeners, for the viewers, because they deserve it. They don't deserve to be, you know, pestered with all these one-sided, I wouldn't say propaganda, but one-sided view, which has absolutely, in my opinion, no real contact with reality.
I echo the same thing, Imran. I totally in agreement with you. I just brought it up. I had a nice laugh. So Premier League fans, I mean, I'm sorry. This just wasn't your year to go further in competitions. Besides the Conference League, which, you know, even when Roma won it, everyone took it as a joke. So yeah, there was a struggle. But Imran, you know what? It helped Italy. You know me with the coefficient, and as we're getting into the R game. You know, with the coefficient, the last thing I'll say is Italy have now been secured of 5 teams in the Champions League, so giving Roma a bigger chance at their objectives. Of course, you're probably happy about it, but as we approach the Roma-Milan game, what were your thoughts on Serie A officially clinching it?
Very happy, because we find ourselves in a position where we could need that. Extra spot. Generally, I think that the spots should go to some other countries to have a more diverse competition. I think 5 teams from a single nation. Now we could end up having 6. I think it's 6, a bit too much. But I mean, considering where Roma find themselves currently, it's definitely welcome news, and I welcome it with open arms. And I think it will be, I think we will, it will give us an edge when it comes to resting players in some of the game. And we have to closely assess how Atalanta will do. If they keep losing points, I think it will allow us to rest players ahead of the 2 big games against Leverkusen, which we will probably need. So very good news. Yeah,
I tweeted out Imran saying this is what dreams are made of. I was super over the moon when they finally clinched it. I could stop looking at scores of how other teams are doing. It just gives Roma an extra chance. You're right about the diversity, but it is what it is with the reformat. We'll see how that works next year. But I thought Italian teams have done well enough to deserve it. Sure, they didn't make it. They didn't make it to pass the round of 16 in the Champions League. But you got to look at the league its whole. Like, we didn't have any teams that got knocked out. Where Premier League did. This is where they fumbled it, because they had Manchester United and Newcastle. They didn't even make the Europa League. So, and we have 3 teams still in 2 competitions. So we have quite a bit, with Atalanta obviously upsetting Liverpool and showing what they can do. I think for the format, it's wholeheartedly deserved. And I'm just glad Roma have an extra chance of making, you're right about rest. So Imran, we got all that, you know, out of the way. We spoke about the European night. I think it's time to transition to the main topic and what we're here about. And obviously you could tell by my, you could probably hear my smile and my enthusiasm and just everything. Roma, what a game. De Rossi, he started in January, the 20th game of the Serie A season, the game right after Milan. This is the same team, and I said this to Scott in so many pods, this is the same team, Imran, that went to San Siro, lost 3-1, and look, defeated. We thought De Rossi might have come in here, just kind of manage the team and say, okay, we'll get ready for next season. Absolutely not. He came in, every game has been such a wonderful experience. Most of them have been tactical masterpieces. Sure, he's going to make mistakes, but what I've kept saying over and over, he seems that he'll be improved on them. Whether it's the first half struggles, or at the beginning was the second half struggles, or the defense struggles he was talking about, he seems to come in and just, he corrected it. I'm not saying we're going to be battling for the Scudetto, but I mean, we're definitely vastly improved to what we saw. Again, the same team that played at the San Siro just a few months ago. De Rossi, in 3 months now or 4 months, has won more games against Pioli than we did the previous two seasons, at least. And this is our first home win since 2019. And our first away win last week was from 2017. So he tactically outclassed Pioli. And I'll give more of my thoughts and I'll leave it to you. So Roma win 2-1 on the night, 3-1 on aggregate. Okay, Celik got a red card. We're down for 60 minutes, you know, with down a man. And even De Rossi said, we didn't suffer. I don't even feel like we suffered. Yeah, they scored a goal, but they scored it late. But we'll get into certain individual performances. But what did you think of the game overall?
You have to divide a game in two parts. I mean, before the red card and after red card, for obvious reasons. I think before the red card, so the first half an hour, we were in control, apart from one chance that Milan had that hit the crossbar, which was a big chance. But apart from that, I think we were dominant. We were just like the first. It reminded me of the first game because we were, again, very comfortable in possession. But for now, for this time, I mean, what was different was that we were playing at home. So we had that extra edge from the fans, the extra push. It showed when we were attacking. Mancini, you know, what a player he has turned out to be.
Goals, if you don't
count them, I mean, the goals, I mean, the leadership qualities, the maturity. He's, you know, at times under Mourinho, I felt that he was a bit immature. He could pick up unnecessary cards, but now he, you know, just the under De Rossi, but especially the last month, you know, he has transformed into a world-class defender. I mean, he has. His presence on the field gives this team something extra. And now, on top of that, becoming so dangerous when it comes on set pieces, being involved in the attacking phase of the game, and, you know, scoring from that rebound off the post, being in that, finding himself in that position because he actively participated in the attack, tells you something. And tells you also the liberty he has in this formation to be able to push forward and then as a result of that pose a threat. So that was very nice. And then,
Imran, before you continue to the next part of it, anything that you just said, I want to add to it. Did you see what De Rossi said about him, about the liberation and attacking? I don't know if you saw it or you missed it, what he said after the game.
I didn't. No, I cannot remember the exact words of De Rossi, but please go ahead.
I was going to say to you summed it up perfectly because De Rossi said it. I wasn't sure if you saw it. He said after the game, Mancini actually likes to attack, and I give him basically the freedom. I'm not saying word for word. It's like for him and for me, 2 meters up or 2 meters back, it's no big difference. But being 2 meters higher could make a massive difference. And he's talking about the goal that they scored, that Mancini ended up scoring. He's like, to be 2 meters further up, it makes no, it does, you know, defending wise, it does nothing for me and for Mancini. He likes to attack. And so while you're on that subject, I wanted to mention that part. So De Rossi gets it. He understands it. He doesn't have anything rigid where saying, no, Mancini, you know, Pellegrini hit the post or whatever, he's taking a shot, you have to run back. He said no.
Yes, but you know,
exactly.
Thank you for, you know, adding that because I wasn't aware of it. It was just an observation I had, but I'm glad you mentioned it because, and also the part about being, you know, 2 meters up or down, the most important thing, the way I see it, is you need to have a style of play where you are comfortable with possession. You cannot lose possession unnecessarily in dangerous situations when you have players, Mancini, attacking and being out of position like that. Because if you do, you'll be very vulnerable in defense because you know there are some positions that needs to be covered there. Of course, when Mancini is given that liberty, it automatically means that Paredes will have to drop deeper to cover up for that space and that position, which is fine because I don't see Paredes as the most. His style of play is not where he offers most in attack anyway.
Like you mentioned, that's one of the things.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's a modern way of playing football where you give you need to give a certain liberty to your players to be able to explore different positions, different, you know, to attack different space. And because Mancini was allowed to do that, he won the ball up. He won the ball back, I mean, high up in the pitch, which ultimately led to the goal. So it was very, very pleasing to see. And then, you know, the second goal, Lukaku, absolute beast of
bully
yeah. That was you know he was there was an attempt to push him, but it, you know, instead it just went completely wrong. And then he should have done a bit better when he sent Theo to, you know, it felt like he sent Theo Hernandez outside the stadium with that body feint. And then I think he should have advanced. He could have even finished himself because I think he passed too early. But luckily, Dybala picked up the loose ball and, yeah, what a finish. I mean, this is the difference between a good attacking player and a world-class player to be able to pick up the loose ball like that, finish like that. That makes a difference in the big games. And to have a player like Dybala who dictates the tempo of the play with possession. He wins you he wins you possession and time up in the pitch the way he advances with the ball. I mean, it was unfortunate that Celik was sent off because it meant he had to go off, because apart from that, if he would have been on the pitch, I think we would have dominated even more. We didn't have to take as many risks and we could have counterattacked more. But you know, then the sending off of Celik, I mean, very, very unnecessary challenge to commit a professional foul middle of the pitch. I know he was a bit unfortunate in his the way his tackle ended, because he ended up taking hitting, you know, Leao's leg, so it was seen as a tackle from behind. So I think his descending off was fair. It was a bit harsh, yeah, but you can justify it because, you know, when the studs hit the boots, it's dangerous. He didn't mean it, but that was ultimately how the whole situation ended. After that, It was always going to be very difficult. You know, the whole game would change. You wouldn't be able to dominate you wouldn't be able to dominate possession as you wanted because you have a player less on the field. And we felt it. But this also means that, you know, remember Milan are 3-0 down and they have 60 minutes plus extra time to score four goals if they want to avoid extra time. Three goals to go to extra time. And that's difficult when you play against 10 players who know that they have to defend, first of all. Secondly, they will not take many risks, because if you take risks and tag, there's always risk on the other side where you can leak goals. So they had to stay very compact. And apart from that, they knew that, you know, automatically you go in a fight or fear mode where you know that you have to give a little extra because there's a player down. You become more conscious of your defensive duties. And it becomes very difficult to defend against a side, and especially when you need three goals. So, and Milan, they tried. They had some half chances. but they weren't really that threatening. I mean, we were still in very much control of the game in defense, and we were, if they were close to scoring, the 2-1 goal early in the game, I think we were as close to going up 3-0. We had that Spinazzola chance, and we also had the Tammy Abraham. He should have buried that one, and then it would have been a definitely game over. But then we held out, and tactically, perfectly executed game. It was a perfect tactical plan from the first minute. We were in complete control. We dominated. We were just running over them. And then after the sending off, we did exactly what was required. And we did it against one of the better teams in Serie A. We did it against Milan's side that always scores goals. And we managed to completely neutralize them. And I think that shows a lot about the tactical preparation, the belief that the players have in the system, in the coach. It showed. And, you get also added motivation when you have been able to, when you have played that first game like that. You get this extra belief, and that you build a momentum which is, able to carry you a few steps extra. And ultimately, what a night of football. I was very nervous. I must admit, I was very nervous. But in hindsight, they gave me no reasons to be nervous because they were in so complete control. And if I have to single out one player, Stefan El Shaarawy.
I was going to bring him up, yeah.
What
man of the match for me.
Yeah. I mean, the first game, he was exceptional. I mean, the work rate, the determination, I mean, he was from another planet. And to see him, having matured like into this player and what he offers this team, I'm very happy to have discovered a player like him at this age, because it was a bit like De Rossi said that in his earlier years, because remember De Rossi played with him at Roma, even in the national team, but at Roma, when El Shaarawy joined Roma, he was 23, and now he's gonna turn 32 this year. So a lot has happened. At that time, he was more about elegance, about nice finishes outside the box, curlers, beautiful goals. But now he brings something completely different to the squad, and quality, I think, very much needed quality.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought him up. He was certainly the man of the match performance for me. It went viral around on social media, that one clip where he's the one who booted the ball forward, kind of looped it, and he went to chase after and won the foul. And then on the sideline was the one holding up his legs because he was getting cramped. What a performance by him. I think everybody saw how well he did. It wasn't even in the attacking phase, which I thought, with 10 men, I thought he did very well, cutting in from the right inside. Like, what a performance from him. Man of the match, certainly. And for the rest of the team, Imran, this was a Milan side before playing Roma, coming in with 7 straight wins. And De Rossi just said, no. We stopped them dead in their track. We had world-class play from center backs. We even had Lukaku. It's 2 straight Europa League games where, although he struggled earlier, we've spoken about it, he really showed up. He showed up in both games. Yeah. It's too bad he got injured. It's too bad. But Tammy came in, filled in admirably, and he did what he needed to do. And then just the work rate of the team and the determination was outstanding. You said we were down, right? We were down a man for 60 minutes. I thought we had the better chances than Milan. They had that really good cross to Gabbia for their goal, but we had Spinazzola and especially Tammy Abraham. We even ended with better XG. So the whole determination of the team, how well they're invested, and they keep talking about family, family, family. And you can see at the end with Ndicka, I don't know if you saw some of the images, Imran.
Yeah.
They brought Ndicka on the field. it was amazing to see totally De Rossi totally outclassed Pioli in every which way. And for once, Pioli finally admitted that, you know what, Roma were better and they deserve to win, because that's not really Pioli's style. And yeah, it was such a wonderful night, Imran. I mean, from back to front, everybody was great, and now we're on to a European semifinal. So just great on it. It was, I don't know, it was one of those nights, Imran, I was nervous, but you know what? The way they played that first leg, and we've said in our chat, they gave us answers, and they gave us another one today. And to do it when De Rossi got confirmed, I was just phenomenal. Roma played their way, and they didn't care. And they're confident. You can even see after the final whistle, when some of the players spoke, like even Tammy or Sviar, they said, we're a confident team now. They asked Sviar about, what do you think about playing Bayer Leverkusen? They haven't lost. He said, well, we'll see in 2 weeks. You know, this is such a different group from what we've seen months and months ago. And to be there, you know, a semifinal for the fourth straight year and 5 out of 6 years, I mean, it's wonderful. Roma, they have that European DNA. They really, really do.
They have certainly created it, because this is a club that has had nothing like this in its history. So it's very unusual to see Roma performing this consistently in a European competition. I mean, whether it's Conference League, Europa League, I mean, 3 Europa League semifinals in the last 4 years. And if you look at the last 6 years, we can include a Champions League semifinal. So there has been a change, and you can see it. You can see how it becomes more like a normal routine for the team to expect to be in a semifinal. Before, it was more like there were a lot of nerves, unwillingly, I would say, because you had never been in that position. But because now, when you are in that position, it becomes more like a routine, something you can start expecting from yourself. And then when you start playing these big games, you like to play these big games. And I think that's a very important aspect of it, because if you fear the big game, then you might not be able to succeed. But now we see a different mentality, and the momentum we have built in Europe, I think, it's very pleasing to see. And going and now having to play Leverkusen in the semifinal again, of course, it will be two very different games from last year, both for them, but also for us, because they are, you know, completely different side.
But so are we.
Yeah, so are we. We have to go out there, because last year when we played there, we were a very reactive side, very defensive. We you know, that second leg at Bayer Arena, we were very defensive. It was almost a miracle that we didn't concede there, but it was also down to a very solid defensive display. But now we are more proactive. We want to play football. And I think even since January, we have to remember that Roma has gradually evolved as a team, both in terms of the quality in the play, the consistency, but also above all, the defensive stability. We are not as vulnerable and in defense like we were earlier in the season. We are able to close down the space, close down areas in a much more effective fashion than we were doing earlier. So I think the two games against Leverkusen will be very interesting. I think we have to believe in ourselves. We have to go out there, play our game, and hope that it will be enough. But I'm happy. You know, it's natural that when a coach gets sacked, you will have, you know, some caretaking manager effect, where the results start coming. You change a few things in the dressing room, and they start performing. I think there is an element of that. I'm not going to deny it.
For sure,
there is an element of that, and that's just positive. But I think above that, De Rossi has shown tactical flexibility and maturity. He has evolved. If you look at De Rossi in January now, he has obviously, I mean, his trajectory has been very steep, and he has also improved as a coach. He's learning a lot. He's getting to know a lot. He's being put in very difficult situations in game where he has to think, you know, and dig deep to come up with answers. And I think he has done that exceptionally. These two games against Milan shows, I think we've discovered something having played Milan in these two games, that we are able to play in this way with this confidence, with this dominance and possession like that. Being comfortable with possession is something that will give obviously extra boost to the team going into the final latter part of the season. Of course, now we will have some very, very tough games coming up. And especially now that the Udinese game was confirmed that Roma weren't so happy about. But we can speak about that too. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the press release. So I was going to get to that next. But before I do, Imran, I will say, I'll end off saying with the Roma-Milan tie, De Rossi made Milan look like the old Roma against Milan. I'm talking about of the last few years. He made Milan look like what we used to be playing Milan, if you get what I mean.
Yes.
De Rossi did that. He has shown tactical flexibility. He has brought the most out of almost every single player, even guys like, obviously, we know Paredes, even Spinazzola and Smalling, nowhere to be found, are actually contributing towards the end of the season. So I'm going to end off saying we actually look like what Milan was doing to us years ago, and they were looking like what we were. De Rossi did all of this. And you're right. Starting from the Verona game to now, De Rossi has mild improved, like miles has improved. And he has shown growth and flexibility 1,000% from that first game we saw against Verona, where they struggled in the second half. And yeah, the sky's the limit with seriously with him as a coach. I think he can be a wonderful coach if we just continue it this way. And obviously he's getting the backing, but hats off to him and to the team, which is wonderful. So yeah, Imran, so glad we're in the semis. Going to be two really different ties from last year. We're going to try to be proactive. Let's hope for the best, but we'll talk about it more when it comes to it. Yeah, that rescheduled game, Imran, I wanted to bring this up on the pod. What did you think? Yeah. Roma came out with a press release saying how they were unhappy with the decision. And I'm glad they brought a voice, because this is crazy. They're completely unhappy with the scheduling of Serie A, confirming Roma Udinese will play those 20 minutes on April 25th. In between, they have the the Napoli game coming up of that weekend. So, and this is obviously just after Bologna. So then the next week they have Leverkusen midweek while playing Juventus on the Sunday. And it just chaotic, a mess. They even haven't even rescheduled the Fiorentina-Atalanta game, which is, to me, it's ludicrous how you can reschedule one and not the other. I don't care, for me personally, about the times, whether it's 20 minutes or full game. There needs to be some sort of, you know, decision made for all. And obviously the teams voted against Roma, kind of affect Roma, like Atalanta and Napoli voted against for Roma's appeal. I don't know if you saw that part, but I'm glad they came out with a club statement. What did you think of them coming public with this?
I do understand their position, but I don't think they have a strong case, unfortunately, because, you know, that's just how life is. You know, the match, we had an injury. We were worried for our player. There are no proper protocols, unfortunately, in Serie A, which can give the players, the team, the fans, a sense of, you know, you need a reference point when a situation like that occurs, and that reference point should be the medics and the protocols they have in place. When should a game be abandoned? When can it continue? When you don't have clear protocols, it will just be chaos. The players will be worried, they will be affected, and the coach will obviously be affected, and then you will be there in a mental state of chaos, not knowing what to do. Now, as a result of that, we pushed for the game to be postponed, and the Udinese were very, very professional, and they cooperated very well. I don't think they should take the hit for, you know, our strong position when it comes to Ndika's condition. I think what they should have done would have been to have delayed the game for, let's say, half an hour to know more about the situation. It's easy to say now, but I mean, and now with, you know, we know the answers after the test and everything, it, you know, an ACL injury is far more serious than what happened, because that's more traumatizing and players are out for a much longer time. And that's easy to say now, but I think it's everything happened due to lack of proper protocols. I think, I don't know if the medics, it's difficult to speak on behalf of the medics because they have the whole picture, but we found find ourselves in this position. It is difficult to move the game to other dates. Of course, it will be difficult for us. And now we have to travel to Udine to play, roughly 20 minutes, which is not ideal at all. I mean, if you look at the teams that, I mean, the games that are coming, but we a bit, it feels a bit like, you know, we lost, we're not in the best position to make heavy demands when we had such a, you know, strong and firm position to call off the game. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I know, I definitely echo those thoughts, Imran. I think it's fine in that case if they're gonna do it. I know they're upset. I mean, as a Roma fan, I want Roma to get the best possible outcome for the scheduling. So if they feel it's not great, I mean, I would be with Roma with that. But again, it's up to the league. I'm just unhappy with the fact that they cannot find a time. I understand Atalanta's in three competitions, but they cannot find a time for Atalanta-Fiorentina where they can quickly find a time for Roma-Udinese. So they could have done something about that sooner, and they haven't so far. That's what I'm saying. I think
they're referring to the rule of having to finish the game within 15 days.
That could be the case as well.
Especially sure. when the game has been interrupted and you have to continue, then it has to be completed within 15 days. And
it's being played on a Thursday, Imran, so they play Napoli on the Sunday. That's only 2 days. I know it's only 20 minutes, but you still got to travel to Udine.
You have to travel. Yeah, you have to travel to Udine. It's a long travel, you know. You travel all the way up there, and we can't play earlier because we have Bologna Monday. So, you know, you need 3 days rest before. So, Thursday, ideally, we would have preferred to play Napoli on Friday or Saturday, you know, to have optimal rest ahead of the Leverkusen game, but it's not possible now, unfortunately.
No, his scheduling does not do Roma any favors, because after Napoli, they play Napoli on Sunday, and then right away you go on Thursday against Leverkusen. And I think Leverkusen played the Saturday. But you're right, Imran, there's lack of protocols with this, because I don't even know what the rule is. Obviously, Ndika's injured. Is it a substitution you have to make for him? What if we don't have, now Lukaku's injured, who was in the game, right? So we don't know what's going on with him either. So we have enough substitutions. Are we able to, you know, put healthy players and then the rest of the substitutions that are there, we're able to use them? Because I think De Rossi used either two or three substitutions that game so far, because he needed to change the game in the second half.
Yeah.
But now we have Ndika injured. We have Lukaku injured. So there's a real lack of protocol and lack of communication of what De Rossi can do for the game. If Lukaku and Ndika can play, what is it? You still have your substitution and you can just put somebody else because they're injured? Or I don't think anybody knows the rule. Do you have any insight on it at all?
On how it will be when they continue, I'm not sure. But when I'm referring to the protocol, I'm referring more to, you know, there should be clear rules on when a game potentially can be abandoned for the players
Yeah,
to, you
absolutely.
know, like from a medical perspective, if you have a player who is conscious, he's giving thumbs up when he's off, even if he could have a heart condition, I think that shouldn't be a reason for interrupting the game because he's outside. There's no immediate threat to his life. Of course, there could be a potential underlying condition which is serious, but and there will be uncertainty, of course. But I don't think that in itself is sufficient enough for the game to be interrupted. But I do understand the players. I do understand coming from a non-medical background. Being professional footballers, they need a reference point. They need the medics and the protocols of Serie A to speak on their behalf and reassure them that, listen, we have rules and regulations in play. When you have a condition like that, there is no, there's you cannot interrupt the game. Despite what I think this would have given them. I think a different perspective. I think it would have given them a sense of relief that okay, you know what, this means that he's there's no immediate threat to his life, so we should be able to continue playing.
Yeah, that makes sense. But obviously, from a non-medical background, Imran, like De Rossi in his case, he was very worried. So you don't know what goes on. But having
Yeah, that's
lack
when
of
you
knowledge,
need, you know,
yeah.
that's when you need, if you have protocols in place, the referee should be familiar with them, and the referee should, you know, on having information about that, just, you know, convey to both teams and say, listen, I know that you're worried, but these are the protocols. They have been, you know, gone through by the task force consisting of, you know, experienced medicals, and they say that should be fine.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I think this is a big eye-opener to Serie A, and I think they need to come up with protocols, make it much more clear for if this type of situation happened. It's going to be rare, but it can happen, as we saw in that game. So, and when I was mentioning about the, you know, the players of who complain, whatever, I'm just speaking the whole situation. I don't think there's any protocols from the medical standpoint to the on-field. I don't think there's anything that's clear or concise from the league to any of the teams. So it's gonna suck to travel to Udine for 20 minutes, but it is what it is. Hopefully, you know, Roma aren't too tired from it. And it would have been much better if it was at home. Definitely would have been much better if it
Yeah.
was at home, but it is what it is. But Roma, we mentioned De Rossi, we've been praising him and the players. I think they're up for this grueling stretch coming up. I think they're certainly up for the challenge. So if they want their objective, I mean, they're right there. It's in their hands, Imran. So they're going to have to, you know, starting with Bologna Monday now, I mean, that's direct fourth place. They're going to have to come out at home with the fans cheering them on. They really got to focus on that game now. And they had a huge win against Milan, and I don't see any reason why they can't continue. So good job with them overall that night. I mean, for me, Imran, I'll end off saying, for myself, it was such a high with the Roma going through the five Serie A teams and going to Champions League. Was an amazing night. Imran, do you have anything else to add on the game, the European game, before I go on to listeners' questions?
I think we can go on to the listening questions, yeah.
Yeah, we cover pretty much of it. So we put out a message for listeners' questions. We got a few, some maybe some comments. So Girossi Gallus, who's actually been on the pod, said, if Stefano Ferrari is a god and God is Stefano Ferrari, who do I send my performance appreciation letter to? I mean, Gallus, send it to him regardless. I'm sure they'll send it up to the heavens. You know, it'll get there one way or another. But yeah, he was phenomenal on that night. So he played like in God mode, really. Man of the match. So thank you for the comment. Theo, Mr. DDR. So our good friend said, how good was Stefano Ferrari across the two legs. Is he making a claim to be a starter going forward? Would you renew Spina? How do you feel about the last month running? So definitely a few questions. I mean, we spoke at length about Stefano Ferrari, Imran. He was phenomenal. Even from Gallas's comment just before him, I mean, pretty much calling him a god, like everybody agrees he was the guy. That both legs, even if he didn't score, whatever the case was, he was there. He is the absolute big reason why we won that game. So we pretty much covered that. Is he making a claim to be a starter for going forward, Imran? I don't know about you, but I don't think he's ever lost his spot. Just the only thing that, you know, that is never defeated is his father time. Obviously, age plays a factor. I do think we need another coverage there, whether El-Sharari comes to back up or whatever the case is. But what do you think? Is he claiming to be a starter? I already think he is one, to be honest. I don't think he's losing it in any way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think also it depends on which type of game you're going to play and which type of opponent. If you're going to play one of the smaller teams, I don't think you need that defensive cover or stability contribution as much as you do in the big games. I think in the big games, you need the extra cover for the side backs, whether it's left or right, depending on the opponent. Remember, he was playing on the right now mostly to help Celikov for Leao. To, you know, we had to double up there, and it worked out perfectly. It's difficult to say whether it's going to be a starter. I think in the big games, he will definitely be a starter because his presence is needed in those games. And by definition, you are actually saying that he is a starter. But I think there will be more rotations. And I'm happy to see De Rossi rotating like that. Sometimes it can be too much, like we spoke about before the Udinese games. After Udinese, that there can be a bit too much. And I mean, a big turnover, you can lose the rhythm of the play. And the players will, some of the players find it difficult to find their positions when there are, you know, there's a big turnover, especially in midfield and attack. If it wasn't for a very congested fixture coming up, I think definitely he would have played almost every game, but we need to rest him as well. But he's a vital part of this team.
Yeah, he certainly is, but you're right about the rotation. I mean, after the last two games he played, like, I think he'll play against Bologna, but he's the type of player that's going to need rest because of the work rate he puts in. I will say, though, Imran, it is very, very interesting. And yes, we're going to keep El-Sharari. He's going to play in a lot of the games. I did see a report today, probably not going to come to fruition in any way, but Daniele De Rossi is very, very high on trying to get Federico Chiesa at Roma. So can you imagine how fun it would be down that left side for the next few years, having both of them, and talk about rotation? That would be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I think that's someone perfect to come, you know, switch on and off with El-Sharari. We'll see. But yeah, El-Sharari to me, I mean, he is a starter. There's no question about it. He does need help. Whether they bring someone more talented, he'll still get important minutes. Because he doesn't, like Dybala has Baldanzi. I think El-Sharari needs somebody, and I don't think Zaleski is the answer. Theo finally ends off. Well, he has a couple more questions. Would you renew Spinazzola? I mean, this is, for me, it's quite difficult. I can't give an answer right now. I think he's been doing better, but to me, it's going to depend on market opportunities, really, in the summer window. See what we can do and see what they do with Angelino. Although he's doing better, Imran, do you think he should be renewed?
It's easy to get emotional, and that could cloud your judgment and to see things clearly. But we have to remember he has struggled for a long time. He's playing very well right now. It could be as a result of the system because, you know, sometimes a system can get the best out of you. And we clearly saw that, especially against Milan, both home and away, perfectly executed games by Spinazzola. He was very good against Brighton as well in the Europa League. And as it seems now, I think instead of changing too much, instead of changing too much, I think it would be easier to renew him having there his experience. So I would try to renew him for 1 to 2 years. Yes.
Okay, hopefully at less wages, because apparently he's on pretty high wages for what he does now, but I wouldn't mind. I still think we would need a starter because he doesn't seem the type to be able to play every game. I think the system has helped him, like a lot of other players. But you're right, you can get too emotional. I'm personally, like, I wouldn't mind, but I would still wait towards the end of the summer, and I think they're going to do that anyways. So we'll see on it. And so Theo finally ends off saying, "How do you feel about our last month running? I mean, there's
Yeah, it
how can
couldn't
you
be
not
heard.
feel, yeah, how can you feel nothing but ecstatic, amazed, just completely over the moon of how they played. To me, their only slip up have been Lecce, really. I cannot see another slip up. Fiorentina away is very tough. Like, I know they drew that game, but other than the Lecce slip up, I can't count Udinese until it's done. They haven't put a foot wrong. I mean, we're certainly both over the moon for it. So that's we don't even need to explain further. It's just been amazing with De Rossi. Thanks for the questions, Theo. And I think we have a couple more from the Gracchi brothers. Is Daniele making the squad overperform, or do you think it's more fair to say he's just making it perform as expected? So he's just making them the team perform as expected, considering they're the third most expensive squad in Serie A. So Imran, do you think it's him overperforming, or do you think the team is performing how they're expected to perform, given that they have a high wage bill?
I think a combination of both. I think we were definitely underperforming under Mourinho. He was not getting the best out of the team. We spoke, I think I said it in almost every podcast I was on, every episode we recorded, that we were underperforming. It's natural to expect more from the team. They are much better than what they were doing. And under De Rossi, we've seen that I think this is their position. I mean, if you look at the players, the quality, the experience, they should be playing football like this. They have the capability to dominate games like this. We have the players with the right characteristics. So I think I wouldn't say overperform. I think yes, there could be some elements of it. Yes, where you think that, okay, you know what, we were a bit fortunate here, but I think you can see a pattern, and I think when you see a pattern, it's not a coincidence. I mean, there's something well studied behind it. There's a preparation behind it. It's intentional, because when you start seeing pattern, and I think in the last month, sorry, we've seen this team. What I was always complaining about Mourinho was that I never understood what they were trying to do. I wanted to have a team where I could relate to them, to understand what they were trying to do. With De Rossi and his style of play, I can do that. I see that they want to keep possession. They want to move the ball around quickly to put the opponent out of position. You want to move the ball quickly for them. If they want to press high, they will just be, running between, and you have higher chances, a likelihood of creating bigger chances, and ultimately posing threats in the last third of the pitch. So I would say, the wage bill being the third most expensive, you can see it in different ways. There are always some players that are they can be disproportionate considering the quality when they off what they offer. There are always players who are low wages who potentially could perform better. But I would say that De Rossi is doing a very good job. The results and the points that he has, the way they're playing and the points he has accumulated since arriving is, I mean, above expectations. Number one, yes, because we didn't expect him to have such great impact. Number two, it's very impressive, and it's, I wouldn't say overperforming. I think he's doing better than what you would expect from this team, definitely. But I think, and that's why I'm curious to see how we will do next season. But I think next season, even with the preseason, I think things will even out a bit. It will be a bit more difficult because the opponents, the coaches, will also have started finding out how he plays. They will also start preparing in a certain way, because when you have a new coach who doesn't have so much experience, he has almost no coaching experience, it's difficult to predict and to prepare when you don't know how they're going to play. So it will be a big challenge for him next season. But for this season until now, of course, a bit effect of the caretaking manager changing a few things. But also, I think he's a very interesting coach with a lot of good ideas. He's curious, he wants to improve, and he can prepare with specific tactical instructions and twists to neutralize your opponent. And I think a coach like that will go far. I'm really hopeful, and I really hope that he will be successful.
I hope so too, and he'll definitely be up for the challenge next season. I think he's shown much adaptability already this season that he can, although maybe we won't get as well as we're doing now, or teams will figure it out at first, and then De Rossi will have to rethink of how he does certain things. I think he certainly can overcome those type of challenges and make Roma competitive. You have to have the players; you can't just
Of
go out on the
course.
torch. But yeah, I don't think it's I don't think it's an overperformance. I do think it's performing better than expected. I think you said it perfectly, but I don't say it's overperformance. And with the wage bill, I mean, that's just Roma structure. Roma have to attract free agents because, they couldn't really spend on the market with transfer fees and the financial fair play. So they kind of have to overspend on free agents to convince guys to come here. So that's all the wage bill thing, and that's really what it is. It's more of a structure thing rather than anything else. So
But I do understand the concern. I do understand the question, because I mean, a recent example is Solskjaer for Manchester United. He overperformed because their expected goals were far less than opponents, and he had some games where they completely fluked and won and had a
right.
long run where they played good. That's one example. But I think we are different than that, because because we deserve to win a lot of the games that we are, because they're completely different tactical setup, preparation. So I don't think those situations are comparable. But Stramaccioni is one example when he came for Inter, because when he came as a caretaker for Inter, he was they won, I think, won so many games in a row and doing really well. But then the complete. But I cannot recall, and that's 12 years ago almost. I cannot recall exactly the quality of football they played, how good they were, how tactically. I have to go back and study that again to give a definite answer. But for now, I would definitely say that good coaches, they get the best out of the team, and they are able to get produce consistency. You saw it with Spalletti last season. That wasn't fluke. That was a coach who was doing very well with his team. And I think that's quality. That could be more a quality of De Rossi as a coach, more than saying that he's overperforming.
I'm glad you brought up Spalletti because I think De Rossi's more in that comparison. Because to me, Solskjaer, I feel like he was winning games for the honeymoon period, but he wasn't getting the best out of players. Where De Rossi, to me, the honeymoon period is over, is completely over, and I think he's been performing wonderfully. And the way the team is set up, and they're so happy with him. I think Solskjaer just, I think the I know it's the ex-player and all that, but I even seen some of those Man United games, and I personally don't think he was getting the best out of players even when he came in. I think they won early because they were motivated, but that extra quality of De Rossi getting the best out of everyone, I think will really keep him as a long-term coach, just in top-level football. So thank you for the questions, the Gracchi brothers. And last but not least, we have just a comment from the Drunken Trooper, and I think I have the perfect answer to this. Where is the Mancini statue going? I think there should be two, and he should be bowing, doing his bow celebration. I think one, you stick right in front of the San Siro Stadium when the players and the fans walk in. And I think the other one, you stick it in the Lazio dressing room. That's where I think his statue should go. But no, but honestly, he's been such a great player for Roma. Yeah, I mean, if he continues, why not build a statue for him? But thank you for the comments. So that's it, Imran. And I think we pretty much wrapped this up. We covered obviously the game coefficients and everything that went on with Roma and European football this week. Before we end this off, do you have anything else to add?
I'm good. Thank you for the chat and recording.
Yeah, love it. So this is definitely my last one for the next couple of weeks. It's actually my final day in my city. I leave to Asia in the morning, so I couldn't help but to get this out, and I can actually listen to it on the flight tomorrow. I'll at least kill one out of the 14 hours I'm in the air. So I wanted to chat about this, Imran, before I left.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk about Roma just outclassing Milan, and what a perfect way to end it before I go on vacation. That's why I said it was one of the best nights ever. The trip, Serie A, five teams, Roma moving on. It felt like I was on drugs. It was such an amazing ride. I've never had such a positive night in sports ever for like a long time. So I'm glad this happened. I'm glad the Rossi and the players have been just tremendous to watch. It's been such entertainment. And the Rossi says, we gotta, you know, he always brings up the mentality. It's to the next game. You know, you win that one. Now we have another big one with Bologna and this gruesome schedule. So, but I think the players are up for the challenge. I think the Rossi, the players, we have a sense of idea what they're doing. And I certainly think they're up for the challenge. I think the Rossi's managing this extremely, extremely well. So I couldn't be happier. So yeah, that's it, Imran. We'll wrap this up. So once again, thanks everyone for listening. If you like what you hear, give us, you know, a 5-star rating or give us any feedback of how we can make it better. You can listen to us on all podcast platforms. So Apple, Spotify, Podbean, et cetera. So we'll be back. Imran, I mean, I won't be here. I know maybe Scott will be back. Maybe he'll talk about his experience, you know, for the Bologna game in Milan. But I'm sure certainly the pod will be back to review Bologna Roma next week or so. So we'll kick it back then. Yeah, guys, until next time, we'll see you. Take care and ciao.
Ciao and safe trip. Enjoy your holidays. And thank you for all the episodes that you've been on, both as a host and a guest.
Oh, no problem. I don't feel like I do it like Scott, but I definitely try my best. But thank you, Imran. Much appreciated. And yeah, it was great talking today. So ciao, everybody, and we'll talk next time.
Ciao.